Hi everyone, this is Alon, producer and one of the hosts of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. You're about to hear our interview with Jack Thompson, which is, well, interesting. When you're done listening, or maybe when you pause for a minute because you're too angry to listen all at once, please take a second to visit chatterboxgameshow.com so you can learn more about our show, the awesome team that puts it together, and how you can listen and even participate for free on a weekly basis. Thanks a lot. I hope you enjoyed these 80 jacktastic minutes.
Before we start, tell me, how long are we going?
I was hoping to reserve about half an hour. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's sure.
Okay, cool. Depending on how it goes, you know, we could go more or less, whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my mic just isn't in a great position for me. All right. So I'm ready to start right off the bat. First of all, I want to thank you, obviously, for being on the show. I think it's really important to get our listeners to get a better feel for how you actually, your position on everything that's going on, because I think all they read is a lot of skewed commentary on everything rather than hearing it straight from you. So,
yeah, well, I appreciate that. And if I were the person as described on some game sites and as described by some gamers, I wouldn't like me either.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I do want to make it clear, though, that the goal of this, well, this isn't really contrary to what I said, but the goal of the interview at no point is to catch you off guard or to discredit you or anyone in the gaming industry or anyone. I'm trying to just create clarification. But
sure,
as a voice for many people who oppose your position, I might have some tough questions. So if there's a problem, let me know. I'm not trying to attack you. Like I said, I just want to get some clarity.
Sure. By the way, have we begun?
Yeah, this is all recording. I don't know if we'll keep all of this stuff and actually air it.
Okay. The reason is I'm getting some crackling. I don't know if that's on your end. Are you hearing me all right?
I hear everything perfectly, actually.
Okay.
And I think what I hear is what's most important, what'll be recorded. So hopefully it's not too distracting for you.
That's fine.
All right. Let me know if there's a problem. We can always edit out, you know,
Sure. Our
personal chatter. All right. So to begin, first, tell me a little bit about yourself professionally. I know you're a lawyer, right? A little bit more about that and your position, and perhaps if you work under a firm or something.
Sure. Well, I've been a lawyer for 29 years, all of those years here in Miami. I've done a lot of litigation and trial work. I do medical malpractice defense work. The medical work has been helpful in understanding a lot of the scientific evidence that points to the harm done by the games. I know there's some people who are in the video game industry who don't want to look at that evidence, and they claim it isn't there, but it is there, and my experience in the medical field is, as I say, has been helpful to understand that evidence. I've been involved in efforts for about 18 years against the entertainment industry. I got the first decency fines levied by the FCC pursuant to acts passed by Congress regulating the public airwaves. I was retained to represent the Freedom Alliance at the 1992 Time Warner shareholders meeting when the issue of the day was Ice-T's Cop Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that off store shelves worldwide. It's ironic that Law and Order Special Victims Unit about 4 months ago had an episode about kids replicating Grand Theft Auto. They called the game something else, but and there was Ice-T in the Special Victims Unit who was trying to catch these kids that were copycatting a video game.
Yeah, he's actually on that show, right?
Yeah, and they had a lawyer playing me, and it was interesting to watch it. Frankly, it was a very good dramatic look at the issue, the best I had ever seen. They did a nice job, and I think they did a fair job. And let's see, I was amicus curiae, that is friend of the court, in the Two Live Crew federal obscenity trial, which resulted in the first verdict in history that a sound recording was obscene. And then that, fast forward to 1999, when I came to represent the parents in Paducah, whose three daughters were shot and killed by 14-year-old Michael Carneal, who was a player of Doom. We filed that lawsuit, went on the Today Show, and Matt Lauer asked me what we feared the most, given our experience in Paducah. And I said, well, what we fear is that other kids in other American high schools are going to do the same thing or worse, having trained on the same game. And sure enough, 1 week later, Columbine happened.
Yeah.
And, I guess I'll just quote the aforementioned Law and Order show in which the question from one of the cops was, are you saying that kids are copycatting video games? He said, everybody's known that since Columbine. So Columbine was a watershed moment in all of this, and I've been part of it, all of this since then, and now we're in the fallout of the hot coffee mod and of course the bad boys on the block with the video game industry, even among the video game community, I think they recognize that's been Take-Two, because Take-Two basically hung the ESRB out to dry and has proven themselves to be an unreliable source of information about their own games.
It was certainly unfortunate that they chose essentially to lie about the situation.
Oh, I think it was great.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy.
I'm glad they
about
lied
it.
Because I think that, you know, they got caught in the lie, and that showed what we've been saying for a number of years about Take-Two. Take-Two is a pretty reckless company.
Yeah, it was unfortunate for me as a gamer, because I understand how hacks work, and you know, it was obvious to anyone who knew anything about games that it clearly was built into the game, and for them to deny it or try to deny it was just silly, because I knew, oh, next week someone's going to prove that it's not, and it's just a matter of time.
Well, you know, I think if they had admitted it up front, what they knew to be true, and they knew it before the rest of us knew it, it would have been better for them. And,
certainly.
You know, everybody learned since Watergate that the cover-up's worse than the initial offense.
Of course. Now,
so they played chicken with Hillary Clinton, which is not a smart thing to do, and they lost. And now, of course, GTA San Andreas is not even on store shelves anywhere in America.
Yeah, I would doubt that, because it hasn't been actually banned, has it?
No, it hadn't been banned, but when I say that, it's what I mean is it's out
the
of all
major
retailers.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to ask about, like, clearly your fight in the past has not focused exclusively on video games.
Sure.
Is that sort of the way you're steering now, that you're sort of, not forgetting, but focusing mainly on video games now and letting the audio and video recordings and television and stuff, you know, take a backseat?
Let me just say, I for 18 years, what I've done is, for better or worse, and certainly people can disagree with me on what I've done, but speaking for myself, what I have done is go against the entertainment industry's marketing of adult or adult-rated entertainment products to kids. And that started out as FCC fines for against three shock stations here in Miami in the late 80s. Then rap music that was mature or had tipper stickers on them that were being sold to kids. And then I should have added, I got Howard Stern off all Clear Channel stations in February of 2004. It was my FCC complaint that did that. But so I've tried to be consistent regardless of the entertainment modality, whether it be music or shock radio or now video games. I think video games are worth an extra focus now because they are the most popular, fastest growing, certainly, entertainment product in the world, particularly with young people.
So do you think they're actually more hazardous or just more relevant today?
I do, and we can talk about that right now. It's an interactive medium. Unlike, let's say, a violent movie, you're in a sense doing the violence, or virtually acting it out. That's why the military uses interactive media to train their soldiers in two regards: to impart certain killing skills and also to suppress the inhibition to kill. Because when you're interactively doing something, it's a stronger reinforcement than if you're just watching violence. There's a study out of Indiana University in the last couple of months that's reported in the Journal for Computerized Tomography, which is a study that shows brain scans of kids' brains who have played violent video games show brain damage and actual structural change in the brain to replicate the structural damage and the changes that are evident in violent kids' brains. So
that's interesting. I actually took part in a study at Indiana University studying brainwaves while playing a video game.
Is that right?
I attended Indiana University up until 2002, I believe, that year. And one of my professors was doing a a case study on brainwaves. Not focusing on violent games, just
right.
Focusing on activity during games and noticing that the activity was basically off the scales when compared to someone who was watching television or reading a book or something.
Right. So you're corroborating, I think, you know, what I'm saying here, that the interactive nature of games makes them, you know, at least problematic. And I think what we're seeing is that there's a potential for harm here. And let me quickly add, there's also a potential for tremendous good. There's no question that interactive media are a tremendous teaching tool.
That's something some of our listeners wanted to discuss as well.
Pardon?
That's something one of my listeners wanted to discuss as well.
Yeah, but like any technology, it can be used for good or ill. And let me just add here, and we can talk more about this, but the notion that there are no studies that directly prove a link between violent entertainment and teen violence that notion is nonsense. There was testimony by the heads of six major healthcare organizations in June of 2001 before a joint committee of Congress that said that there are literally now hundreds of studies, those are their words, that show that linkage between violent entertainment and teen violence. In particular, they noted interactive media. So, really, as Hillary Clinton said a few months ago, the case is closed. The debate is over. Unless, you know, you want to ignore the evidence and say that there's no evidence of this linkage, but there is. And it's interesting, some of the same people tend to be liberals who wanted to restrict advertising for cigarettes on national media because it might persuade kids to smoke, or some of the same people who say that video games can't actually change attitudes or behaviors, so they really need to be consistent. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, even as a you know, a child of technology and interactive media and all that, I'm old enough to understand that there's clearly a link between violence and media, just because, you know, it's societal, where if all I'm doing every day is watching television and watching the news and listening to songs and playing games, obviously if there's violence everywhere, it's going to make me more prone to accept that violence in real life. And so to deny that, you know, some people are too young to understand or be willing to admit that something they do, you know, might be linked to something bad. But I think the problem that a lot of people are having with the scandal right now is that it seems like you're attacking their entertainment of choice, and they feel personally attacked by it, or, you know, that you're focusing, saying, well, really it's video games that are ruining it, and since you're not mentioning all the other stuff at the same time, that you're saying, oh, well, television's okay, and, you know, songs are okay, and all this stuff, and video games are really the big problem. And
well, let me defend myself on that. If I were to go after all media, there'd be a problem. One is I'd have to clone myself. You know, I can't do everything, and don't want to. You kind of have to pick your spots. Secondly, I do think interactive media, for the aforementioned reasons, is more dangerous. And thirdly, I need to point out the problem isn't video games. The problem is certain kinds of video games.
This is something now, I wanted to touch on too.
Yeah, you know, the problem, David Walsh, who stood there with Hillary Clinton at the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas news conference, has a wonderful quotation at his website, and people need to visit his website who want information. I've gotten a lot of emails, thousands of them in the last few weeks, some of them threatening to kill me. In fact, I got 5,000 emails in one day by one guy who was threatening to kill me. The Secret Service is all over that right now for reasons I won't go into.
Yeah, that's an intelligent guy.
Yeah, an intelligent guy to threaten to kill me in the context of, hey, video games haven't affected my attitudes. But the problem is, David Walsh points out at his website, which is mediafamily.org, that he who tells the stories defines the culture. One of the problems with the Grand Theft Auto games is that they glamorize violence, killing of innocent people, and so forth. I think that's violence in video games, I think, can be bad enough, but when you have a storyline, such as what you find in the Grand Theft Auto games, in which one of the scenarios is to kill innocent people so the cops arrive so you can then kill them, you know, I think that's troubling.
All right, well,
I think you're sending messages there that are sociopathic in nature.
I want to make sure that I ask some of the questions that you know, my listeners want to hear answers for. So far, we've just sort of touched on the background and everything, and that's important. But I want to start asking a few questions. First of all, what is your ultimate goal with everything that's going on with the litigation and all that? Are you trying to get violent games just abolished completely or limit their purchasability? What exactly are you trying to get as an end result?
Well, I would love for America to go to what is the UK system, and that is you put a certificate on a game indicating it's not appropriate for minors, and then, as a matter of fact, you don't sell it to them. It's that simple.
So just make a law limiting the purchasability by minors.
That's right.
I happen to agree with that.
Pardon?
I happen to agree with that.
Well, yeah, and let me explain why that's what we need and why that isn't what we have. In a free country, adults, by and large, should be free to consume whatever they want. Now, you know, most people think that maybe controlled substances ought to be controlled. Also, clearly child pornography is contraband definitionally by the harm it does to the victims of it, who are the children who are filmed being raped when you're making it. So there's some products that even adults shouldn't have. But I think when it comes to violent games, the standard that I think is doable and is consistent with the First Amendment is that you don't sell adult games or mature-rated games to an age group below which the label and the rating indicate they're harmful. It's just that simple. And the problem, though, in this country as to why we don't reflect, unfortunately, the UK system is, number one, the entity that rates the games is wholly captured by the video game industry. And Doug Lowenstein can, as this, you know, the lobbyist for the ESA, can say all he wants about how, you know, we're an independent entity and so forth. It's nonsense. If you go to ESA, their website, and you look at who the members are, they're the people who make the games. And the ESRB is tightly wedded to the ESA. So you've got the fox guarding the hen house in this system, whereas in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, places that have rating boards, they're independent entities that are not captured by the industry.
But at the same time, the ESRB is forced to rate things accurately because otherwise things like this will happen and people will come down on them. So they're protecting themselves at the same time as well as protecting the video game companies.
I think we can all agree that the rigor with which they checked out Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was not sufficient.
Well, hang on a second. I haven't heard.
Let's get away from the hot coffee mod. There are lots of people who think that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is an AO game in and of itself without the hidden sexual content, and I happen to agree with them, but what we really need, I think it's almost unassailable, is we need an entity that's not funded by the industry. I mean, that would tend to be true of any product. You can't have, for example, chemical and their safety being determined by Dow Chemical that pays the entity that determines whether or not it's safe.
Well, that's not a perfect analogy, because as a consumer, I can buy this product and I can see all of the content when I use it, and I can judge the content and see if they're correct or not in their determination of whether or not it's an adults-only or a mature title. And when it comes to chemicals, I can't test for what chemicals are there and how harmful they are.
No, I don't have that ability.
But the
rating system is supposed to alert parents as to what is appropriate for their children, and parents aren't going to play the games necessarily. They're relying upon the ESRB to tell them truthfully what's in the game. They blew it on San Andreas as to the hidden content, and there are plenty of people who believe that they're blowing it as to what we know is in the content of the game. And in fact, Kimberly Thompson of Harvard has done a scholarly work about ratings creep, that what used to be M-rated games are now T games. So we've had the ratings themselves degrade as to the content, so that parents really are not getting, I think many argue, certainly Assemblyman Yee out in California, that the ratings are not reliable, and that one of the reasons they're not reliable or that we should question them is the ratings are paid for, in effect, by the industry itself. You can't have, for example, the Food and Drug Administration tells us and helps safeguard the safety of our food because it's independent of the industry, or is at least supposed to be. The other problem with the system we have here is Illinois now is the only state in the union, and only for a week now, that has any sanction attached to selling an M-rated game to someone under underage. And, of course, they define the content of the game as inappropriate based upon statutory standards rather than the rating itself as determined by the ESRB, and there's a constitutional reason for that. But the UK system, you can't, without suffering a criminal penalty, sell a game with a certificate to a minor. And that's the difference. The industry has flat out misled the American people about the effectiveness of the rating system. And as recently as this news conference with Hillary Clinton, she pointed out that recent studies show that 50% or more of the M-rated games are being sold to children under the age of 17 in all the major retail outlets. So that
I agree. I have worked at the stores, you know, major retailers that sell these games. I know in the past that, you know, I've never been told to restrict the sale. I have, you know, had to, if a mother comes in with her son and her son wants to buy the game, I took it upon myself to explain it. And there were some games, like once Grand Theft Auto came out, they said, listen, you need to explain it, and we're not going to sell it to kids under 17. But there was no across-the-board rule saying mature games can't be sold. It was left very much up to just the decision of the person selling it or that particular manager. And I think, I've always thought, it was silly that the companies, first of all, didn't protect themselves by setting a rule across the board for all games rated mature.
Right.
And I agree with you completely that if, you know, obviously these problems are existing, the games are being sold, and it's creating problems like this, regardless of the hot coffee mod, just creating these problems where kids are getting access to this game, and then people are complaining, and people are getting killed, and all that stuff. And whether or not they're getting killed because of the games, I don't want to argue right now. But there should be a restriction, and if it needs to be a law because the companies aren't taking care of it, then I think it's suitable, yeah, to place a law and say, okay, mature games need to only be sold to people 17 and up, and adult-only games 18 and up, which is kind of silly. It's only 1 year, but that's not the point. There should be restrictions if they're not being restricted already.
Yeah, I mean, that's the logic of the label that is really inescapable, and that is if the label says it's inappropriate for a minor, therefore harmful, then you can't market it and sell it to kids because there's a hypocrisy there and frankly a deceptiveness that I should point out is at the root of in a way this class action lawsuit that's been filed in New York. And let me just mention that because it's
we need to mention it because it's ludicrous and I definitely want to hear your opinion on it.
Well, I think you think it's ludicrous and I don't fault you for that because the nature of the lawsuit has been misreported in the media. I spent a half hour on the phone with the lawyer, and I said to him, I think your lawsuit is ludicrous. And then he explained it to me. Here's the deal. This grandmother bought the game, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, for her 14-year-old son, and what's been reported in the media is that it, you know, that she didn't know it had this content in it, and that it was harmful to the child, and supposedly he's been harmed and so forth. She didn't know it was inappropriate for the minor.
Okay, which is silly, of course, because the rating is out there for her to see.
Yeah, but that's not what that's not the basis of the lawsuit. The basis of the lawsuit is much simpler. She's not alleging, and they're not alleging, that there was harm to the child and that she didn't know it was an M-rated game because, of course, the descriptor, I'm looking at my version. By the way, I should sell this on eBay, a copy of the Hot Coffee modded Grand Theft Auto San Andreas signed by Jack Thompson. That might be worth something, actually, on eBay.
I think they would only purchase it to burn an effigy, but continue, please.
Yeah, well, no, it might be fun, but I'm trying to show I have a sense of humor here. the descriptor says blood and gore, intense violence, strong language, strong sexual content and use of drugs. And I said to the lawyer, you know, how did she not know what was on the game? And he said, well, forgive me, but he said, you know, you deal with the harm issue and have for many years. And he said, we're aware of you and what you do, but we're class action lawyers, and we're familiar with the fraudulent and deceptive trade and sales practices, federal and New York statutes. And here's the deal. If you sell a product that purports to be one thing and it's in fact another, then by definition, under the black letter law in that statute, you've engaged in a deceptive practice.
And so what did they do that was deceptive?
Well, here's the nub of it. They were selling the game as an M game.
Yeah, because it was rated as an M game by someone, an organization which was not them.
That's right, but let me tell you what you don't know, and which I didn't know when I called the attorney. The fact that it has now been rated an AO game by the industry rating board means that it, by definition, was not what it was purported to be. It was an M game, but it was, in fact, an AO game. And the differential as to that, which, of course, has been a huge brouhaha, the proof of the differential has been over the last 2 weeks, means that the product was represented to be one thing when, in fact, it was another. And in fact, it's now
an AO
game.
But you can't fault Rockstar or Take-Two for that, because they're not the ones who determine the game. I could submit, Annie's Spelling Bee game, and they could determine it's AO, you know, years later for whatever reasons they deem necessary.
No, I have to tell you that the fact is that it is... It's inarguable that the game is now an AO game.
But it's not, they do not determine the rating. They have nothing to do with the rating other than, you know, submitting the game for determination.
Okay, but you're missing the point. They deceived the ESRB, and the ESRB said that. They said that they didn't tell us what was in the game. Well, arguendo, they also didn't tell the public. And I'm telling you, the fact that there has been a rating change based upon the deception of by Take-Two of the ESRB almost makes this case a slam dunk. And let me tell you, you know, you and I can disagree on that. I'm just trying to tell you what the theory of the case is. And I think you can agree it hasn't been reported this way in the media. Let's say each game was $50 a pop. If you figure 10 million units of GTSA were sold, the potential downstroke against Take-Two if the class is certified by the court is $500 million.
Yeah, I read that.
I don't think Take-Two can withstand that kind of a judgment.
Well, no, but still, it comes down to the definition of game, and there are many games that can be modified to offer content that was not meant to be available.
Well,
and there are also games,
no,
by the way, that have
no.
content similar to
it's
Grand
a,
Theft Auto.
It's a... Okay.
That are rated mature right now and haven't been changed.
Nobody added the content to this game. It was in there, number one, and there's a reason it's now an AO game. You'd agree it's now an AO game.
You know, the reason it's an AO game is because of all the attention that was brought to it. Have you heard of a game called Leader Suit Larry or a game called God of War?
Yeah, of course I have. But
I figured as much, and they have very similar content in them.
The point is, Take-Two agreed with the rating change. I think their mistake was that they didn't fight it. But they agreed to it, and that's also fashioned a noose for them. I'm just telling you that the class action lawsuit is not as ludicrous as the media and the game people have indicated it to be. I'm simply trying to give you all information as to what the theory is. You know, the court's going to sort it out, but I think once it seeps through to the market, NASDAQ, where this stock is traded, and they figure out that this is not a wild-haired lawsuit, it's going to at least affect the value of Take-Two stock. I sure wouldn't buy
it. Well, it already has. There's no doubt
about
that.
Not a lot. Not yet, because the market thinks it's discounted already, the hit on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and so forth. But the class action lawsuit is a problem. But here's the biggest problem Take-Two is going to have. Possibly, or at least, let me put it this way, another problem on the horizon. I'm going to Manhattan this week. There's going to be a protest outside the headquarters of Take-Two. We might have a U.S. senator there as well, and I can't mention his name or her name.
Yeah, the bully protest.
There are going to be some kids on a bus with CNN going from Washington, D.C. to New York to be the primary participants in the protest. And the protest is going to be about Take-Two's game Bully, which is basically Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in a school setting. And for Take-Two to release a game that's a violent simulator in a school setting where you can beat the dickens out of your classmates and your teachers and settle scores in a virtual school is absolute lunacy.
Well, I mean, obviously that's left up to the opinion of the market, the consumers.
No. It's not a market opinion. You're going to have Congress and other folks in positions of power come down on Take-Two like a ton of bricks if they release this game. And the people that are in the crosshairs on this are not just Take-Two, but also Sony, and interestingly, Microsoft, which is going to be releasing, or it's going to be on Xbox, simultaneous release for the PS2 format. America is not ready. Maybe the gaming community is, but America generally is not ready for a virtual violence simulator in a school setting with the watershed moment of Columbine still fairly fresh in everybody's mind. It's just the dumbest thing that Take-Two right now could possibly do, and yet they're going full speed ahead. They're, Toys R Us, Amazon.com, GameStop, Walmart are all pre-selling the Bully game on their websites, no questions asked. Some of them are pre-selling them to kids regardless of age in their stores already. We're going to have a field day with this in Manhattan, and the government, I'm going to predict, is going to come after Take-Two if they sell this on the basis that it puts at risk kids in a school setting, given the nexus between this type of entertainment and school violence.
Well, I mean, that you can draw analogies up and down the board to, you know, a million different Hollywood movies that have this sort of setting, or, you know, the nightly news. And so I think it's inappropriate to claim
that.
I can't see how that would completely change the point. It might not be interactive, and you're all concerned with, you know, training simulators and all that, but wow. Like, it's just a game, and there is humor.
It's a killing simulator in a school.
And it will have a mature rating, just like if I want to go...
They're selling it. They're already selling it and pre-selling it to minors. That's the problem.
But admittedly, the game is not in the hands of those minors, and when they come to purchase the game, they'll be required to have a parent.
Oh, no, they won't.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, as someone who has worked and managed those stores, I know how they work, and I know that they say, listen, we'll let you pre-sell whatever the hell you want, but when it comes down to selling it, you're going to have the same rules as you do any other game.
You said earlier that stores do not ID kids.
Originally they didn't, and then with Grand Theft Auto they started, and especially with any Rockstar game that has this sort of content. And there does need to be a rule in place, but the rules that apply to pre-sell, this is what I'm trying to make you understand the difference. The rules for pre-sell are different than the rules for selling, and it might be silly, right? Why even let them pre-order it? But they're not actually doing any harm by pre-selling the game.
Regardless of the pre-sales, I'm telling you that everybody knows that they're not IDing more than 50% of the time on the M-rated games, on the actual sales. So
that's an issue that does need to be dealt with. That
for Take-Two at this time of peril in their corporate life to be releasing a school violence simulator with which they foolishly put a screenshot up of the students beating up one another at the Rockstar Games site. I mean, that's maybe the dumbest thing that Rockstar could conceivably have done. They announced the game at E3. I did a news release 2 months before they did that because a mole at Rockstar called me and told me, you're not going to believe this. He had seen me on 60 Minutes about our lawsuit in Alabama arising out of the Grand Theft Auto games. He says, Rockstar, my company's about to release in the fall the game Bully. And so here's a guy at Rockstar recognizing the lunacy of this. And then they announce it at E3, and then they put up on their website, you can see it right now, this screenshot, which just is like a match to gasoline for all the people that are gunning, no pun intended, for Take-Two to bring them down, because they're going to put out into the marketplace, whether the video gamers want it or not, there's going to be a a backlash to a school violence simulation game that you're not going to be able to calculate.
Yeah, but you got to forgive me. I see a very subtle difference between that and any wrestling game or any other fighting game that exists. The fact
it's
that it's
a school,
in a school,
it's a school setting.
Exactly,
game,
but the violence
you
exists
are,
just like
you
any
are
other
glamorizing
game.
Hurting one another, where most kids spend their waking hours, and that's in school.
It's violence that's like in any other game, and so it's in a school setting, but they're still going to have to be able to differentiate between what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. You know that punching someone in Halo is, you know, if that were real, it wouldn't be good. And so you know when you play this game that if you're punching somebody, it's also not acceptable. And if you don't know that, that's a separate issue completely.
Well, no, the problem, of course, is that the medical studies show that there's a failure of some young people because of risk factors to appreciate the inappropriateness of it. That's the point. The games are literally processed in a different part of the brain in adolescents and teens than they are in the brains of adults. So that's why Harvard and Indiana University have found that you see far more acting out of this entertainment in younger people than adults, because the processing never gets to the frontal lobes in the younger people, and therefore when the young people say, oh, I know it's fantasy and so forth, well, the brains don't. That's what happened in Alabama. You had a kid, a teenager, who got in a stressful situation. His brain went to its default setting, and that was to act out the game that he had literally spent hundreds of hours practicing on, to kill unwittingly, which is exactly what he did. You put a kid in a stressful setting, he calls up images and behaviors that he's spent hundreds of hours training on the game Bully on, and the chance of violence is greater than if he had not.
I just don't see the difference between that game and any other, and I obviously we disagree. But
you don't see that in a school setting, if a kid threatens another kid,
I don't see it as being different as another game.
And he's played the game Bully, that there's going to be more of a correlation as to how he's going to act than if he's playing Halo?
Not enough for me to warrant a protest in front of a company.
Well, I think under the First Amendment, we can have any protest that we want.
Well, of course. Of course, you can complain about whatever you want. But
whether the industry likes it or not, what you're doing, what Take-Two is doing, is putting a hammer into the hands of all the people in government, outside of government, parents groups, and so forth, who are very concerned about this type of product being sold to kids despite the M rating. And Columbine is simply not a meaningless word. It means something. And what happened in that school and has happened in schools since is a linkage between video games and that type of violence that this game actually glamorizes. Klebold and Harris were victims of bullying, reportedly. That was true in Paducah. It's been true. It was true at Red Lake, the worst massacre since Columbine.
But it's,
and
it's
so
clear
here
that these
you
children
are putting
also
into
had a problem.
The hands of Klebold and Harris and Jeffrey Weiss and Michael Carneal type kids who think that they're need to settle scores, something with which they can rehearse settling the scores.
But let me explain something. I grew up, and I was picked on, and I was thrown into lockers, and I played video games virtually every day of my life, and I played plenty of violent video games, and I didn't turn out that way. Clearly,
It doesn't mean that other kids who are at risk aren't going to act that way.
Yeah, because those kids have other problems. They have crappy parents or crappy education or just problems that are built into them that could manifest themselves with or without the games.
The fact that these kids have problems you didn't have, is that some reason to put a murder simulator into their hands?
No, but it's not a reason to attack the company that produces it, because it's not...
Of course it is, because they know those kids are out there, and they say on the label that they're inappropriate for minors, and yet they market the dickens out of them and sell them to kids, and here comes the industry, for example, in Illinois. All that the Illinois statute says is don't sell these mature games to kids. And along comes Doug Lowenstein, holds a press conference, and he says, well, kids have a constitutional right to buy these mature games. They need to make up their mind. Either the warning label means something or it doesn't. You can't say it's harmful to a kid and then claim that kids have a constitutional right to buy it. Most Americans don't agree with that. They just don't. And to the extent that the industry says, well, we're not going to abide. We will not tolerate mature games being only sold to mature audiences. Then they're going to then they're going to have the government come after them. And they're coming after them. Believe me, Hillary Clinton is running for president on a platform that has replaced has replaced the phrase Hollywood, the word Hollywood, with the phrase violent video game. That is now the repository, that phrase, of all of the angst and anger that soccer moms and American parents feel against the entertainment industry for putting their kids in harm's way. Whether you agree with her or not, she is a force to be reckoned with, and she's going to run for the presidency against the video game industry. Obviously, other issues as well, such as defense and healthcare reform and so forth, but there's a reason why she's raising tens of millions of dollars, because she's perceived to be someone who cares about the safety of kids and pop culture's attack upon those kids, in part through the video game industry. She's going to ride that issue into the White House if Take-Two continues to be the dumbest video game company in the world.
They, like everybody else, have the right to be stupid. They have the right to make bad decisions. And
the burden is
on the market to determine whether or not that game will succeed. And just because a game isn't sold to minors doesn't mean it's not going to create a problem, because there are plenty of adult men who have walked into churches and shot off guns or walked into schools and shot kids, and the problem that exists in these people doesn't stop when they're a child or when they hit 17 or 18 years old.
Well, what you don't want to do is put it into the hands of people who have these risk factors, mature games, and put them into the hands of 13-year-olds. It doesn't make any sense, and it's hypocritical, it's inconsistent, and it's dangerous.
What we need to do is attack the cause of the problem, not the ailment.
What's going to resolve this issue is not the success of the game. You don't understand. The marketplace is not going to determine by dollars and cents whether or not Bully is attacked. Bully's going to be attacked by virtue of the nature of the game, by virtue of the fact that Columbine was a place that really happened, and because Take-Two is the maker of it. Take-Two has got a bullseye on its corporate back the size of the Empire State Building. And they are crazy out of their minds to release this game in light of what's going on with Take-Two in America right now. They're crazy. They're absolutely out of their minds, and they're going to find that out when they release this game and the federal government comes down on them like a ton of bricks. Teachers' organizations, you're going to see, I believe, teachers' unions pull their stock portfolios, and they're going to say, wait a minute, do we have Microsoft and Sony stock? We're going to dump that stock because these guys are targeting us with a game in our schools.
So what you're saying is what I'm saying. Let the market bear.
No, it's not just... You said that the success of the game should determine the issue. We're not talking about the success of the game.
I didn't say it should determine the issue. I said it will determine whether or not people actually want it. If there's all these people who don't like it, then it won't be purchased, and it's fine. That game won't be produced again because it's not going to succeed.
No, we're talking about this game, and we're talking about weapons that will be used against it other than the cash registers in the various stores.
Well, honestly, that's just not what I want to discuss.
Pardon?
It's not what I want to discuss, the weapons that will be used against the game. That's not my point.
Well,
the point is whether or not the game is really as more harmful than any other game, or if there's a reason that it shouldn't be released, and I don't believe there is, as long as there are rules set in place to eliminate the purchasing of it by...
But there aren't. That's the point.
Well, but that's a different issue that we need to attack separately.
There's only one state in the union that has a law that prohibits the sale of an M-rated game to a minor, and that's Illinois, and the industry has tried to strike right now, this moment, is in court trying to gut that law. So,
but we're working.
You may not
want to
talk about it, but the fact is the gamers aren't going to decide this issue. America is going to decide this issue, including the gamers. Hillary Clinton, as far as I know, is not a gamer, and yet she's got...
Of course not, but she has a lot to say about
the video. She's got her sights... As do 355 members of the House of Representatives. Let's not forget, there was a vote last week, and it was in the House of Representatives, and it was a resolution that basically said to the video game industry, to the Federal Trade Commission, you've got to get to the bottom of the rating system gone awry, this being an example of it, and are you going to punish the federal government, Take-Two, for doing it? Take-Two is the entity that's coming out with Bully, and it's a very, I'm telling you, it's a very bad, stupid time for them to do this.
I don't see any reason why this is a worse time than any other. It's really, well, I want to step away from the bully topic.
Have you missed the last month?
Apparently. Why is this?
You've missed the fact that Take Two is now on Washington's radar screen.
Why does it matter? Take Two or any other company can make this decision. If they want to be dumb, they get to be dumb. They have that freedom.
Well, they can also get to be bankrupted.
That's fine. Isn't that what you want? Why? Who cares? Let them.
Well, I don't know what your point is. My point is that I'm just telling you. I don't know how you could disagree with this. That Take Two's had a bad month. Number one, not been a good month. If you ask Take Two at the start,
yeah,
of
but
the,
your whole concern should
no,
not isn't
the
finances of this company.
If you ask, let me finish the point. If you ask Take Two at the start of July, okay, now would you like the following month to happen? Would you like to have 355 members of the House of Representatives come after you? Would you like Hillary Clinton to call for a federal investigation of whether or not the hot coffee mod was put in there by Take Two or by a modder, and then you would lie about it and then be caught in the lie? Would you like a potentially $500 million class action lawsuit to be filed against you? And at the end of that month, would you indicate, we're going to come out with the school murder simulator anyway? I'm just telling you that Take Two, you know this, has been wildly successful as a video game company. They have led the world in the production of that kind of game, and they're the poster child for everything that's wrong with the video game industry, which is not to say everything is wrong with the video game industry, but Take Two is the pecs bad boy of the video game industry, and to the extent that Take Two can be used by the industry's critics, then to that extent Take Two is not a friend of the gaming community, because they are in effect giving ammunition to all of us who want to do something about the fact that the rating system is broken, that it's owned by the industry itself, and that we don't have any laws. Because what's going to happen is, if the industry doesn't get its house in order and deal with the sociopathic companies like Take-Two and the people who are committing, they just settled a $9 million fraud lawsuit by the federal government for fraudulently reporting the sales of their games. If the industry doesn't deal with these guys, then government's going to deal with the industry. It's that simple. And so the people that really ought to be upset about Take Two and all that they've done to tar the rest of the industry is the industry itself. And in fact, proof of that is that the ESRB asked the House of Representatives to pass this resolution to nail Take Two, because they understand that Take Two has put at risk the whole rating system, the whole regime that the system runs on, the industry, is at risk now because of the scofflaw attitude of Take Two. And now comes Take Two to make things even worse for the industry, to come out with a bully game. And I'm telling you, parents across the country are going to say, you know what, that's it. That's the last straw.
You're right. But my problem with this entire commentary is that it has nothing to do with the problem. We're just talking about the success of the company.
It has nothing to do. What problem are you worried about?
The bully game existing and the content in it, that's an issue. But why are you so concerned with whether or not the company will succeed or fail? That's not the issue at hand. It's whether or not they're creating this content.
There are sociopaths everywhere. Some of them are in government. Some of them are at Take Two. In fact, we got a bunch of sociopaths in Edinburgh, Scotland, sitting around in kilts, sipping their single malt whiskey, spreading racial hurtful stereotypes in this country.
Oh,
in
of
the
course,
game,
Reddit
which are,
stereotypes
which
like
are
people
absurd.
Wearing kilts and drinking whiskey.
I'm giving you an image there of the ludicrousness of a bunch of Scots over in Edinburgh, and I'm of Scottish ancestry, selling in our country a game that has misogynistic as well as racist content that is off the scale. And I'm simply saying that Take Two has been lionized by the video game industry until the pigeons have come home to roost. Now all of a sudden, Take Two, you see anger at the news sites about Rockstar and how could they be so stupid, and how they've helped put the video game industry in the crosshairs, and they've done all of that.
That's absolutely true. They made
it. And so somebody ought to grab these nutcases by the lapels and say, what the hell are you releasing Bully for right now?
It was dumb of them to lie about the content.
I beg your pardon?
It was definitely stupid and hurtful for the game industry for them to lie about the content. There's no doubt about it.
No, I'm talking about Bully now. Do you have a problem with Take-Two releasing this game?
I do not. Because if someone wants to buy it, they should get to buy it. And if someone doesn't want to buy it or they disagree, they get to not buy it. And that's free market. That exists in all cases. If you don't want to buy pornography, you don't. And if you want to buy something violent, you do. And that's just the way free market works.
But the free market The free market doesn't define everything. Oh, let me ask you this. Should there be live sexual intercourse on network TV in primetime?
Well, on network TV, freely accessible to anyone with a tuner? Clearly there are rules against that, and I'm not so against those rules.
Okay, well then you and I are just... Let's not pretend then that there aren't lines of morality and conduct that a democratic society can set that are not defined by the marketplace, because you that would be an off the scale hit if it were on network TV. People would tune in to see what's going on, but that doesn't mean we want to allow it. And similarly, you've got you just said that the marketplace will define whether or not this game should be produced, and if people want it, then they should get it. But that isn't...
It's an imperfect analogy, because you know what? The next day, half of America would be up in arms against, you know, them displaying the porn. And so it wouldn't last.
Well, let's not pretend that the marketplace defines all things. I'm sorry. That isn't what this country is about. It isn't what this country is about. It isn't all capitalism 24/7 everywhere. This is a country that is also got concept within the Declaration of Independence and within the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, the notion that a free society also has to be a virtuous one, and that democracies can set forth standards of conduct that are define life in this country rather than the almighty dollar. You know, my generation is a little bit different, I guess, than yours. We had the anti-war movement, Vietnam era, and we understood that if anything gets too big, whether it's the government or business, then if that power is unchecked, something's got to check it. You can't say that America is only and only ought to be about what the market will bear.
Well,
that's ahistorical as to what this country is about. It may be the what Europe is about, but that's not what America is about.
It seems to me that the market pretty much does determine everything, and that is just that, you know, we're fairly democratic.
It's not legal to sell cocaine on the street corner.
That is unfortunate. No, I'm joking, obviously. But I don't see how releasing Bully is that varied from anything that already exists. And honestly,
you don't think the word Columbine has some cachet with parents?
It does.
Okay, then what in the world do you think is going to, just leave me out of it, what do you think the response to that game is going to be among public safety groups, anti-bullying groups, the Department of Education,
I think it's pretty clear why, but the point is that everyone who has the choice to buy a game has the choice to buy the game, and they will buy it if they want it. And the groups who are against all those things, the bullying and everything, and the defamations and the games and all that, they'll be upset about it. Cool. They won't buy it. They'll try to get their children not to buy it, and they'll try to get everyone not to buy it. But
okay,
the people who want it have that choice.
Okay. And let me tell you what else somebody has a choice to do. They have a choice to hire an attorney and go down to the courthouse and try and enjoin the distribution of that game and make the argument that the game poses a heightened risk to the safety of kids in school.
And I can only hope that no judge, favors that.
Well, if the judge doesn't favor that, then he's gonna be going against all the evidence coming out of Harvard, Indiana University, out of Congress, out of studies in Germany and Japan right now, and all the studies, the hundreds of studies that show a direct causal link between violent entertainment and teen violence. And for the bad boys of the video game industry to be pre-selling here in July and August a game for release in October that basically glamorizes the mindset of Klebold and Harris at Columbine is lunacy. It's nuts. And the video game industry is going to get a lesson on how stupid that is.
And
Doug Lowenstein, you know what? If Doug Lowenstein cared about this industry, he would call a press conference instead of having one of his events where he says the United States Constitution protects the right of children to buy pornography, which is literally what he said last week. Then, if he really cared about this industry and was earning his seven-figure salary, he ought to call a press conference and say, we don't think it's in the best interest of the industry right now to release a murder simulation game in a school setting, and we call upon Take-Two as a member of the ESA not to do it. And that would be a smart thing to do. But Doug isn't that smart. Doug is a reflex person who simply will do what he thinks the industry wants him to do rather than, you know, have a cup of coffee, hot or otherwise, have a cigar and say, you know, what's in the long-term interest of this industry? Should we be about trying to convince parents that we really do care about their kids? And if he did that, he'd have that press conference and say, this is not a good game at this time.
All right, listen, there's a lot of other things I wanted to talk about, and we've run way longer than we wanted to. And I've avoided so many questions that I wanted to ask. I really do want to get back to them. We've got to leave the bully thing behind and just agree to disagree at this point, just for the hope that I can get some of my other questions in. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I've wanted to ask about Grand Theft Auto. This hot coffee mod and all the scandal that came about, it was because of the hot coffee mod. And the rating was changed and all this because of sexual content. And so I'm really curious why you have sort of taken the forefront of the argument or been the main attacker on this front when your entire website and it seems like your entire goal is to avoid the violence. And then as soon as something completely unrelated to violence, I mean, the content in this game, which has become objectionable and changed the rating on it, is about love. Two people loving each other, and now we're getting it you know, taken out of stores and restricted.
No, I'm sorry. You can't fault me for that. I'm the one who for 4 years, let's see now, longer than that, since 1999, have been on national TV preaching about the violence in the games. And the reason why the hot coffee mod is such a big deal is Take-Two lied about it. That's all. If the content had been in there and Take-Two said we screwed up, we should have removed it, this controversy would have been over in a 24-hour news cycle, but they flat-out lied about it. And the fact is that Take-Two has led the pack in producing violent games of the type of Grand Theft Auto is why it's such a very big deal, because it's because it's Take-Two. So this is an issue not because of me, it's because of who Take-Two is, and because they decided to take on not Jack Thompson, that's been going on for a long time. They took on Hillary Clinton. She's the front runner in the Democratic Party for the presidency. And so this is not something I got done. This is something she got done.
All right. So
you started out by telling you what I've been telling. It told you what my history was. I got two Live Cruise albums declared obscene. I got the first fines by the FCC ever levied. That was back in 1989 because of the sexual content of shows. I'm consistent. My problem is with adult entertainment that is marketed to children, whether it's violent in nature or sexual in nature. And the R rating system, the movie rating system, deals with both those issues. There's violence levels that's inappropriate for kids and sex levels that's inappropriate. And the point is the sex and the violence in Grand Theft Auto is unacceptable. And it's a mature and now adult only in content.
All right. Well, this leads very well into some questions that my co-host Nate wanted to ask you. So I'm going to give him the headphones and let him ask a couple questions. Give us 1 second if you'll allow it.
We're almost out of time.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Nate.
So basically, I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts about EA and The Sims and exactly what were your concerns about it.
Well, the problem with Electronic Arts and The Sims is this. They have a blur in the game. They dissembled initially about whether or not the blur is removed by and replaced with what they call the Ken and Barbie type skins, or whether or not you simply drop a sensor flag and reveal that. It's the latter. The blur removal can be done in the game. Now, having said that, what then is happening, as everybody knows, is that there are mods that are out there that are freely available on the internet that make the characters anatomically correct or anatomically bizarre. And it would be an illegal act for you to sell, for example, to a minor, those images. The additional problem with the Sims game is that there is sexual content. It says it right on the descriptor that it contains sexual content, and everybody knows that. The problem here then is that you basically have a collaboration between Electronic Arts and the mod community, including adult porn sites, that are allowing you to modify the content of the game. And the problem with that is a copyright problem. You've got these adult porn sites using the name Sims. That is an infringement on the copyright of Electronic Arts. Also, the use of the code in the game to modify the code and turn it into graphic sexual content or images is an infringement of EA's copyright. The problem with all of that then is you've got a collaboration going on in the open between Electronic Arts and the porn industry to modify the game. It's a copyright problem, the extent of which is that if EA doesn't start enforcing its copyrights, they will lose their copyrights. Copyright law is very interesting. You have to protect your copyrighted material, or you basically kiss it away. And when you have Will Wright, the creator of the game, repeatedly saying he encourages the mod community to modify the game, then he's basically giving a green light to all the mods. And that's the problem. The problem isn't with the content of the Sims game per se. The problem is that you've got this illicit collaboration going on that may actually sink to the level of a conspiracy in a legal sense to distribute pornography to children, and I think that's why this was dealt with seriously, and I was interviewed extensively in the Wall Street Journal this past week. There was a serious article about it on CNNmoney.com and so forth. So the characterization of this as Jack Thompson saying that the Sims game is obscene is simply not fair. It's that you've got Electronic Arts participating in the wholesale violation of its copyrights in order to distribute porn mods, which make the game more attractive financially to them because you've got people buying it for that purpose.
Well, yeah, but the game... How can I put this here? Games can always be modified, and people are always going to do it. I can't speak for Will Wright. I doubt he would be saying, yeah, you know, I want you guys to make this porno, like, right out there. But, I mean, if people want to do it, they'll do it. Any game can be modified. I don't see why the game company has to be held responsible for that.
Well, because, forgive me, but it's a legal issue. And that is, if you don't protect, as I said, if a company doesn't protect its copyright, it loses its right to protect its copyrighted material in any regard. It's interesting, the Entertainment Software Association had a huge headline at their website praising Attorney General Al Gonzalez for cracking down on the piracy of video games overseas and so forth. Well, they were all for that copyright protection, but when it came to a violation of their copyrights in modifying the games and using the name Sims and so forth, all of a sudden they're not interested in protecting their copyright, but the peril there, I'm just saying from a legal and practical standpoint, is to the extent that you don't protect your copyright in certain regards, you lose it, and now we're in a climate that some would call McCarthyism. That's fine. I did my honors paper in college on McCarthyism. This isn't anything close. Is that you've got a you've got a situation here where the video game industry is under scrutiny. There are going to be hearings in Congress in the fall about the content, about modding, about the entertainment software ratings board allowing the modding to go on, thereby changing the game and so forth. I just thought it was a fair thing to point out that the most popular video game in the world, The Sims, is in a active collaboration with the porn industry, by definition, to modify the game, and thereby in violation of their copyright. So that's my issue.
Well, all right, I'm not exactly sure about a direct collaboration with the porn industry. That seems like a bit of a stretch. But
so they're letting them use the name Sims. That's a copyright infringement.
All right, I'll give you that. But, you know, for a game company standpoint, having people mod their games in a way that would, you know, be fun. I'm not necessarily, you know, they have to be naked and having sex or anything like that. But it does stretch the life out of the game, and it does get, it does help them make more money. You gotta follow the dollar. But modifications do help.
Except that you sign a software agreement when you open up the game that says you won't do that. Now, if you're gonna do that and take your chances that the thought police aren't going to come into your bedroom or into your house and see whether or not you modded the game, that's one thing. That's not going to happen. But what is happening, just like it did with Napster, these guys are putting these mods out on the internet. And that means in the public domain. And so this is a very public problem since it's occurring in the public square. So.
Yeah, all right. I guess I can see you. Now, you had a press release, I believe, last week, and you did talk about the blur being removed, and you said at some video game websites that they're full frontal nudity, including nipples, penises, and labia, and pubic hair. I kind of looked around. I didn't see anything. I don't want to put you on the spot here,
but I'd like to know where
these sites were exactly.
I made a mistake, which I corrected within a couple hours, I believe, as to what was seen when the...
Yes, you did revise your statement later, and you kind of... Well, here's another point that I want to get to. You said sex and nudity are in the game.
Unlike Take-Two, it was not an intentional deception, and when I saw that somebody had given me bad information on that, I corrected it. The problem, though, is the same, and that is that there is this modding going on with the knowledge of Electronic Arts and a failure to crack down on the copyright violation. I do disagree, by the way, with the characterization that what you see when you remove the blur is that it's a Ken and Barbie figure. I think that's not correct. I would disagree with that. My sister had Ken and Barbie dolls, and they're, I'd say, a little more developed than that. In The Sims. Also, the removal of the blur from the children is a problem because of the pedophile sites that are out there. So that's you know, I'm trying to state accurately what we now know to be true.
All right. Well, I haven't played this in without the blur, but I know people that have, and they have told me that it's very similar to Ken and Barbie. But
I've seen the images, and I disagree. Of course they would say that because it would tend to be in their interest to say that, but I'm talking about the modding that goes on. I don't think it's appropriate with the images and the easily removed blur, which the New York Times on their website about.com is providing to the world. You've got the New York Times involved in giving the cheat code or whatever you want to call it to remove the blur. So it's a very easily done thing. And I think there's a problem when you have a game with sexual content in it, that can have nudity, however you want to describe the nudity, it's nudity. And I don't think it's appropriate for a 13-year-old. It's a Ken and Barbie. The dolls, there's inanimate dolls. When kids played with them, there was no manual on how to have them engage in sexual activity, but there is sexual content in the game, and that's the difference.
Okay. Well, just one statement I kind of wanted to clarify because it was a little ambiguous, but you had a statement last week that said the sex and nudity are in the game, and that's the point. The blur is an admission that even if Ken and Barbie, you know, the feature should not be displayed. The blur can be disarmed. This is no different than what is in San Andreas, although worse. So are you saying that The Sims is worse than San Andreas, or that...
I didn't see any nudity in the I didn't see any nudity in the hot coffee mod, did you?
Well, there are some other... There's some new ones where they are naked.
Okay.
And this would tie in that with... If you're really cracking down on, you know, modders... The thing is, anybody could mod a game.
Well,
I could mod a game,
that,
you know, make the typing fun, you know, have a bunch of penises and vaginas
in it,
too. I'll
tell you one reason why it's worse is it's a T game and not an M game. At least the descriptor on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas makes it pretty clear that there's strong sexual content. What you put into the hands of a lot of kids is a T game, and nobody ever gets ID'd, obviously, for a T game. You could be 8 years old and buy The Sims. But you do have sexual content. You have an easily removed blur to reveal nudity. And then you've got a tremendous amount of modding going on, which I think you'd agree that some of that is getting into the hands of kids on a T game. So my point is, this is a very new industry, and they've just run into a brick wall. Because there is a determination in Congress to do something about this industry, and everybody at Take-Two, I can tell you, understands the significance of a resolution being passed 355-21 last week about this, and they understand that in the House of Representatives, to have a vote like that lopsided, that spells danger. So they better get their ducks in a row. They better start protecting their copyrights, because ultimately, if you're going to have this collaboration between the industry and the mod community, then the ratings mean absolutely nothing if you can modify a game that readily.
Yeah.
See, I have to tell you, I maybe shouldn't say this, but this is my politics. This is my ideology. I don't favor the rating system at all. I think if you're not going to have any sanction attached to selling, let's say, an M-rated game to a 13-year-old, then let's do away with the ratings altogether, because they're a false assurance in two regards. The content that they say is there is not there. It's different. We learned that through the mod scandal on Hot Coffee. And secondly, if you're going to have retailers not sell games on the basis of those ratings, then basically the M rating becomes a sales tool rather than a warning label. And it alerts kids. You got some kids that are out there that don't want a game unless it is an M game.
Yeah.
So kids will go into stores looking for the M games, and it becomes a sales tool rather than a inhibition.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm sure that has been dealt with. I know it was a problem in the past, and it still might be. But really, you know, if it is, you know, like even when we start IDing, it is really down to, I would say, the parents' responsibility. I mean, these are their kids, and if they're 14, I think the parents should know what their kids are playing, you know, on the family computer.
Well, they should. The problem is that I can't control what the parents next door do.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't see why the government needs to step in and start telling us, you know, what...
Well, they do, actually, and here's why. Because Hillary's right, it does take a village. It takes more than individuals acting in their own little universes to deal with all the problems of the world. That's why we have government in a situation. For example, look at what happened at Columbine, or I'll give you a better one that I was involved in, Paducah. Ed Bradley, first time we were on 60 Minutes, this was back in 99, asked one of the parents, well, isn't it a parent's responsibility to keep these games out of the hands of kids? And Joe James looked at Ed Bradley and he said, you know, Ed, I'm trying to figure out what I did wrong. I had my daughter in school. She was in a before-school prayer meeting. If I hadn't raised her right, she'd be alive today. His point was, he didn't raise Michael Carneal. Michael Carneal's parents did. He did everything right. Michael Carneal, by those parents, in attentiveness, were allowed to, or let their son consume this stuff, and then his daughter's dead because this kid's out of, involved in this stuff. And in the aftermath of all that, the federal government, the Federal Trade Commission, the same one that Hillary asked, and now the House asked to nail Take-Two, they found that the video game industry was aggressively marketing and selling M-rated games to 12, 13-year-olds. And the industry is still doing that. My son was doing his homework the other day I'm making dinner before Mom comes home. He's 12. We're watching SportsCenter on ESPN. On comes an ad for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas at 6:30 at night. Are there kids in the audience watching that? Of course. This company in this industry creates a demand for this stuff, and then they say, oh, well, you know, it's a parent's responsibility. Kids shouldn't buy this stuff. Well, then stop running the ads aimed at kids.
Well, if it's on ESPN, I mean, even though if it's at 6 o'clock, I mean, ESPN I don't believe.
Huge,
I mean,
ESPN,
kids may be watching it, but
ESPN
still, I mean, if it was on, like, say, Cartoon Network, then I'd have a problem with it, too, but.
No, it's worse to be on ESPN. ESPN has a huge teen audience. That's one of the largest demographics on SportsCenter, which is what was on.
All right. I guess I'm getting the word. I had some more questions, but apparently we are all out of time. They're pretty close. And I think Alon wanted to talk to you for this final bit here. Well,
sure.
Thanks for answering my questions. It was great.
All right, yeah. Even we here at Chatterbox have a time limit that we've got to take care of. I'm sorry, by the way, for running so long, but obviously you have a lot to say on the subject. So we are going to go, but before we do that, I want to ask you one question that you may think is silly or a joke, but I'm actually kind of serious about it. We've been talking about the interactivity and the point that the fact that the games are interactive versus just one-sided, watching a movie or whatever, makes them even more poignant to the issue of limiting access and all that. So can't you compare that to, like, a Barbie doll? I could buy a Ken and Barbie doll, disrobe them, and put them in any sort of compromising positions I want. Why is it that, you know, this issue hasn't been brought up to Mattel or any other doll manufacturer? Because I can do whatever I want with them, including kill them and rip their legs off, which many people have done in the past.
Because, well, the difference is you don't typically have that thought, one would hope, spring into a six-year-old's head to do that. Unfortunately, it's very clear that the Grand Theft Auto games are a violent simulator. Yeah, you can get some points if you drive people in an ambulance to the hospital and so forth, but everybody knows that it's a violent game. It's a game in which there are prostitutes whom you can beat to death and so forth. It's a popular game because it's a violent game. And the violence is programmed into the game. There's no violence programmed into a doll.
Mm-hmm. That's reasonable. Although I still sort of have an issue with what seems like a very opportunistic time to bring these things to the forefront, given that this is all based off the hot coffee mod, which was sexual and not violence related.
Not for me. I was on the Today Show in April 1999, early April, predicting Columbine.
But now you're attacking Electronic Arts.
We did. So this, you know, there was no hot coffee mod 6 years ago in April 1999. I've been on this for a long time. I'm not being opportunistic. I think the rest of the world is caught up with me. That's what I think.
But how do you defend the fact that you're attacking EA now? Maybe you'd just be rehashing what you just said to Nate, which I didn't hear.
What I'm doing is pointing out that the entire industry has been deceptive. They have not been responsible. It's a fair game to point out the number one game in the world historically is allowing a modification of the game that puts sexual content in it that's unacceptable.
As Nate pointed out, anything on digital medium, I could take math blasters and inject any sort of graphic images, whether it be violence or sexual.
And if you did that and you used their copyright on the internet, if Electronic Arts were being responsible, they would come down on you for like a ton of bricks for a copyright infringement, but they're not doing that because they don't want the mod community inconvenience. They want them encouraged.
I think that's a poor argument because you can make those modifications without violating copyright.
Oh, I don't think so. Not if you go on the internet and make it available to people using the name Sims.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to say Sims. You say your favorite game involving, you know, interactive families.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be unkind, but you asked me why I focused on it. It's because the industry is out of control. The industry has not been responsible, and they're the ones who are responsible for and culpable for government coming after them. They've given me an opening. They've given government an opening. They've given Hillary Clinton, Rick Santorum, Senator Brownback, Joe Lieberman, all the people who have said we need to wrap our brains around this technology and be, and they need to be responsible just like other businesses. And if the pigeons are coming home to roost, it's not being opportunistic. It's lunacy, the consequences of which have finally come to light. Take Two has been hailed by the video game magazines and by the enthusiasts of games as you know, really cool, and thank God for Take Two and so forth. Now you guys are all over them, most of you, for being irresponsible and stupid and so forth, and what they should have done and what you all should have done was listen to us when we said you've got to have rules about this type of stuff.
Well, we of course were under the impression that the ESRB was controlling these things, and I still think they did a fine job. I have nothing against what they did. The way that Rockstar handled it obviously is a problem. Anytime you're lying is going to create issues, and I was very upset when I found out that they were lying.
You guys should be upset with them and not with me, because what they've done is they're like the Wizard of Oz. The curtain has been lifted.
Yeah, but what I think the problem with you is that you're overstepping your bounds and saying that someone who creates a mod, like the EA, is pandering to the mod community because they allow it to happen, and there's nothing saying they allow it to happen.
I'm not overstepping. I'm out to let's be clear, and then let's end with this. I'm out to destroy Rockstar. And I said that years ago.
But you're taking this fight beyond Rockstar.
I beg your pardon?
You're taking this fight beyond Rockstar and attacking the entire industry. And that's, where the problem lies.
You need to relax. Jack Thompson's not going to destroy the video game industry.
I'm not saying you're destroying it, but you're attacking it.
It's a technology here to stay, but what I'm telling you is that any technology and the people who make money on it need to be responsible. It's up to them. It's not up to me. If Electronic Arts wants to collaborate with the porn industry to put porn in a T-rated game, that's fine. They can do it, and they're going to have to pay the piper for doing it.
Well, that is certainly an extreme exaggeration, and definitely
no, it isn't. It's an accurate description because that's what's going on.
There's no pornography.
I beg your pardon?
There's no pornography whatsoever in any EA game that I have ever seen, including The Sims.
You're not listening. What I said is that Electronic Arts is collaborating with the porn industry to enable a modding of the game in violation of copyright laws, and Electronic Arts wants that to happen, and their creator, Will Wright, has said he wants it to happen.
I need to see that quote.
So they're either going to have to stop that, or they're going to have to pay a wicked price for using a rating system that is a fake rating system when you allow that wholesale modification of the game. But anyway, it's been nice to be with you.
I appreciate you coming on the show.
I beg your pardon?
I appreciate you coming on. Clearly we disagree about many things. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right, and I'm sure we'll see much more about you in the news in the future. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your day to listen to one of the more interesting interviews Chatterbox Video Game Radio has done. Don't forget, though, Chatterbox is a weekly show that airs live Sunday nights. We love it when people call in to chat with us about the game industry, so don't be shy. Visit chatterboxgameshow.com for all the info you need to listen live and call in toll-free. And really, thanks for listening.